Heather speaking. Yeah, you can do. That would be helpful.
My name is Heather Glitherow and I'm a team manager for the adult social care team in Billingham in Stockton-on-Tees. I manage a large team of occupational therapists and social workers, which also include a team of admin, occupational therapist assistants and assistant care coordinators. We provide assessments for people aged 18 and upwards, care act assessments, carers assessments, and we look at support planning and implementing service for people who are eligible. My job no day is the same. Yes, we get the referrals in, different referrals every single day, and that's part of my job, is to look at the referrals and to ensure they get dealt with in a timely manner and allocated onto social workers. I was a senior social worker for about 9 years before I actually stepped up to team manager, and I liked the role of the senior. I think it was the thought of the responsibility that kept me at that level, because at that level I still had the hands-on, going out and seeing the clients, carrying a caseload, but decisions that you made, you always could run via your manager. But once I stepped up, it just goes up a level anyway, because you do make more decisions. Yes, you do have more responsibility. However, you also have your manager then to go to as well if you're unsure. It is hard. It is a big team. It's a very large team. But I delegate as well. We delegate. So we share the supervisions out. We share the support between myself, the seniors, and the OT team lead. It's having good staff, good seniors below you, and good support from above you. And I think that I'm one cog in a big wheel, really. And it's ensuring that you've got the support around you, and then the staff have got the support around them as well. Basically, the reason I came into social work is from my own previous experiences. Having a child at 17 with severe physical and mental disabilities, having him dependent on me for 8 years, and that changed me as a person. He was diagnosed when he was 2 years old with a very rare genetic disorder, which meant I had to become a full-time carer for him. He got progressively worse, and I had a lot of, basically my day-to-day life was around hospitals, the professional services, nurses, occupational therapists, social workers, speech and language therapists, specialist schools. He had a lot of assessments, consultants appointments. So for 8 years, my whole life evolved around the care that he needed, and he became my priority. Within that time, I went off and did little courses around business and holistic therapies. I was a holistic therapist, and I had my own business for a period of time. And when he sadly passed away, which was expected, when he was 8 years old, I then reassess my life and thought, what do I really want to do? I had another 2 young children at that point as well, and I thought, well, all I've ever known is the supportive services. I spoke to the manager of the social work team that supported me at that time through carers assessments and the role with Jamie, and also his nurse as well, and they said it would be a good career for me to kind of look into, given my background. So I thought, well, social work is something that I would now look into, and giving something back really for the support that I'd already had myself. Throughout the course, it became very, very apparent to me it was the social work side of it that I was more drawn to than the nursing. Hence, when I qualified, I went into social work initially in children's services to get a good grounding for 2 years. I did a lot of child protection work. I then went into the children's disability team, where I provided support for carers and children who were living very, very similar situations to what I'd lived in. That was very rewarding, actually, in that respect, but also difficult as well because I could see the challenges. Back then, health and social services needed to be working together more jointly, and I think they do now, that they do. From my own experience of being working in the sector, we do work together a lot more. Back then, it was very disjointed. That was my experience as a service user or client at that point. I had support of family, and my family were very, very supportive. My friends, because I was so young, my friends were all at college or university. I was married very, very young. And then because I did have a few friends, and I made friends who had babies at the same time I did, but because Jamie was disabled and he didn't develop like their children did, I felt quite isolated and alone, that I couldn't join in like groups that they were going to because he didn't. And I suppose because I was so young as well, I didn't know what was expected, really. And my life at that time was spent around hospitals, doctor's appointments, speech and language appointments. I lived a very different life to my friends at that time. So I suppose when I think back now, I probably was quite socially isolated within my own peer group. And everybody I met who had a situation the same as mine all seemed to be older parents. But to me, that was life, and I just got on with it. I just got on with it, and I didn't think there was a lot much help out there. I didn't think there was anything out there. I just thought, that's my life. I've got to get on with it, regardless of how it is. My own experience with both the health and social care sector, I couldn't fault it. They were very supportive of me. They were there if I needed anything, but I always felt that there were things that needed to be changed as well in regards to how carers were seen at that point, the strain and the stress that they go under, because something one of my community nurses once said to me, I would always put on my makeup, put on a face, make the world see that everything was fine. And the day that I ran to the hospital without my makeup on and I needed that support, that's when everybody came round and went, oh my God, what's happened? It was the day, basically, that I broke down and said, I need help now. And all it was a little bit of respite to get my own strength built back up, because I spent a lot of time in the hospital, a lot of time doing the care, and a lot of time being up in the night, that my own resources really were completely depleted. And I just needed that little bit of time. And for people to say, yes, we'll give you that time, then we'll take on the caring role for a few days for you, we'll put a package of respite in, give me the strength to be able to continue on. And it was after that that I got regular respite, because that's what I needed and that's what my family needed at that time. It improved things remarkably, because I could have time with my other children, because at the time I had a 4-year-old who knew no different, apart from being around hospitals, around oxygen, around suction machines in the home. And then I had a 6-month-old baby as well. So yeah, it was about understanding the role, understanding the strains, understanding that you need to be valued as a carer as well. That was the crux of what brought me to social services, I suppose. I think in my role when I was working in children's services, especially in the children's disability team, and again in when I was a children's community nurse, in regard to carers assessments, I think people did listen to me if they knew about my background, but it took me a lot basically to share initially with people what I'd been through. say that at interviews now, that I always have a different dimension to myself, because yes, I've done the training, but I've also got the experience of being that carer, that other side of it as well. My rule of thumb in life is treat others as you would expect to be treated yourself. And I think if you live like that, to that philosophy, you can't go wrong, really. Especially in this role. And always put yourself in that person's shoes, because you don't know their story and you don't know. I mean, I've had it said to me now, I've had it said to me before when I've gone out and done assessments as a worker. Families can get quite distressed when they're looking at choices around other family members who maybe aren't capacitated to make that decision at the time. And they can be angry that you can't provide everything, because we can. We haven't got a magic wand. We can't. We are tied by resources. And in these challenging times, that is difficult to kind of balance people's needs against the resources that are there and making sure everything's fair and equitable across the board. And it is difficult. And sometimes people find that in times of need quite distressing. And they'll say to you, you don't know what it's like. But in some circumstances, and a lot of people in this profession, they do know, and we wouldn't be here if we didn't, but we're doing the best we can with what we've got. It's very stressful and challenging, but it's also quite rewarding as well.